I saw you created a post recently on like starting the Surinamese community on Hive or like the initiative. What would be an approach or an idea how to, or what maybe you already have it in mind on to get people on it? Let's say, let's start with some creators. And I think because the incentive will be the reward system especially, and that their creations get seen by others around the world. What would be an idea maybe in the next month on how we could, get maybe 10 people on it and like really who really create content
I
and
think we should start just doing it, because I've done Steam meetups twice. I haven't done a Hive meetup. There have been questions, like people who are kind of really involved in Hive that have asked me that question, like, "Are you going to do a meetup for Hive as well?" I'm actually wanting to do one next month. Well, I really want to do one. Here's the thing: we just should just start. We have to commit to it. We really have to. The problem is we're afraid to commit to a new platform. And I've also, and let's be honest, for me personally, this has been the longest I've been committed to Hive or Steam for the last years. Because what would happen? I would start up in January, February. I would be active. I would be on there every month. And then the social media preparations for the social media conference would start, and then I would start lecturing. And then, bam, there's no more time left. So I just disappear for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. Then I come back in June, July, and then I post three times. And then August, September happens. And then all of a sudden we're back in January. And it's like, yeah, let's. This has been the first year that I actually committed to even days like I don't have time. Let's just go on Hive, at least comment to one or two posts that I enjoy, staying active. And that's something we have to commit to. Otherwise, it won't work. Like, if there's somebody who has invested tons of dollars and wants to support us, and we just keep on disappearing for months, they're not gonna invest in us as a community. They're not. Why should they? And there are a lot of people that want to invest in a community. I know for sure if we get like 100, 200 people from Suriname posting content on a daily basis, how Indonesia does it. I mean, the Indonesian community or the Thai community, or I think there are a couple of communities on Hive, community or country, different communities that are at Malaysia. I think the Malaysian community is quite strong there as well. If we kind of prove that we can put out content, people want to know about Suriname. I'm gonna share you a big secret. No, yeah, big secret. The biggest guy, I'm not the biggest guy living in Suriname on Hive.
Interesting.
There is a Cambodian family. There's a Cambodian family who lives in Suriname, and the dad, Justin, he has a Steam account, and his wife has a Steam account, and the kids have a Steam account, and he's Cambodian. He just lives here. He's stationed here at the moment, and he posts about the Surinamese sherry, like Surinamse kers,
Oh, Jerry, yeah.
and the cherry, the Surinamese cherry. And he did a post on that, and I think he got like that post got like 8 or 10 or 15 or 14 dollars worth of upvotes. And yeah, nobody posts that. Nobody tells the story about Suriname. Nobody posts on Hive when our city is underwater and we just start doing all these kind of crazy things because our city is completely flooded. Nobody's taking our pictures from the COVID situation and the lockdown. People standing in line and how they stand in line for the supermarket. That kind of information, people don't know that about Suriname. But people don't put out the creative artworks that we make or the cultural things that we do here. We don't post that. One of my friends on Hive, I think she's Indonesian, or originally she's Indonesian. I showed her one of the food vlogs of David's been here on YouTube. And she has been binge watching videos on the Japanese food culture in Suriname because she recognized everything her dad told her about Java in the 60s in those videos. You know how cool these things are, but we're not putting out that content.
Why is that though? Is it
And
because we don't believe like our lives are shareable and interesting?
I don't think we realize how valuable it is that we write our own stories as a country. I'm going to give you a big example. And this is not blockchain related, but when I started doing research on Google and on social media in 2009, I started researching certain things about Suriname and what would show up if I searched those terms on Google. And I found out that almost all the information written on the internet about Suriname has been written on Dutch websites.
Yeah.
We're more of an oral storytelling country. That's our culture. That's why Anansi is so big. Anansi is a big spider, and Anansi, the stories of Anansi are stories of spiders. And that's why we have Anansi Tori, which literally means Anansi story. And we orally tell our stories. That's the way we communicate. That's our culture. We don't have a written culture. And there are communities in Suriname that write a lot. So maybe we should go to the writers group, the Writers Group 77, and tell them, why don't you try this platform? Why don't you start blogging on this platform? Yeah, that's something we should start doing. And unfortunately,
we just lost him, but he'll join back.
It's okay. Yeah.
In the meantime, Tim, welcome. You've been listening carefully. Just a quick question, Tim. Did you transfer to Hive as well? Because you already had a Steam account, right? Or is unmute?
No. Can I get in the last part of the English?
We're doing this episode in English.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't transferred in. To Hive, of Hive yet. Not sure how to do it though.
You just log in with your same credentials.
Yeah, I just did it last week. It was pretty simple. You have all the same things again. So
just log in or sign up.
You can log in
right now.
You can just log in. You can log in with your same credentials. Your everything, your Steam Power and your Steam will convert has been converted in Hive. And Hive Power due to the fork.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's an interesting thing because Timothy started talking in Dutch. And this is also something that we have to consider when we talk about the Surinamese community. The language. I think because a lot of great content creators in Suriname create their content in Dutch. And I mean, there is a Dutch community on Hive. There are a lot of, I think there are a lot of big people. I think one or two witnesses as well are Dutch. So they might support, but not necessarily because, should they just support Surinamese people because they also speak Dutch? You know, it doesn't really make that much sense. But we do have to decide, and that's why I do think we need a community. Because we should reward people that write in Dutch as well, and creators, like big creators that write in Dutch. You don't want to leave them out saying like, when you switch to Hive, you have to start posting in English. Because the jokes aren't the same, the culture isn't the same, so it won't resonate if you translate. Yeah, you won't be able to fully translate it into Dutch to English either. So that's something we do have to consider.
Yeah, and I think the welcome back, Greg. The distribution for English is much broader, and especially if you want to connect with people from Indonesia, Malaysia, around the world. And interestingly enough, speaking Dutch or writing Dutch can be a niche value in itself. Because I've met people here that, you speak Dutch? Wait, what? I've met people from Indonesia, and it's kind of the opposite how Dutch works in Indonesia. It's the grandparents that know Dutch, and the young kids all do know Indonesian, so you know some broken Dutch. Compared to Suriname, the grandparents that know the Japanese, and the kids know only Dutch and English. So it's quite the opposite. And when I found that out, it was like, wait, what?
Here, so if you're listening to this, if you're in Suriname and you're listening to this, and you know Japanese, and you know Hindi, or at least the original, maybe Sanskrit even. I don't know which one would be more familiar for the Indian people on Hive, but it would be fun. It would be really fun. If you want, if you're like young, a young Surinamese person, and you want to keep your writing skills in Japanese up to date, oh, trust me, the Japanese community, the Indonesian community from Java would love it if you would, as a Surinamese person, start responding in Japanese to them. They would love it. They would, we would start talking which words have changed. It's really, they're going to enjoy it so much, because then you're really connecting on another level, which I can do. Basically, the only Japanese word I know is lie, which is like, I don't even pronounce it correctly. You know, so it's like, I don't know. I know berkat, I know the food, you know, bami, nasi, you know.
And it's only really, now that I've kind of taken it for granted that I didn't, you know, pay more attention to it back then when you were a little kid.
It's only when
you get exposed to these situations.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because people get excited and then they're like Southeast Asians, they get excited like, oh, do you know Japanese? And they start speaking specific words or writing specific words, and they're like, nah, I haven't heard that before. I don't know what that means. You know, I know bantan, yeah, you know bantan, berkat, you know, those kind of things. But it's all food. I mean, it's the same for my Finnish. If people ask me, do you speak Finnish? Then I say, I can order hamburgers, but I can't do anything else.
Cool. Greg, quick question. What's our time now? I'm thinking about faking this into two episodes.
Yeah, that tends to happen if you do podcasts with me. It tends to become two episodes.
I'm at an hour and 15. So we're at the point where we got to decide two episodes or one. But I'm enjoying this. I don't mind.
Yeah. I mean, we can always do a second part and go into more depth, other details. So I'm fine with just focusing on what's the important things that you guys feel we should talk about right now, and maybe doing an episode in the future that goes a little bit more in depth.
Yeah, no, I think the focus, pretty much the focus of this episode was short history, and then mainly onboarding people onto the Hive platform, and especially creators, like what's in it for them. And I think we've touched on a couple of these things, and
there is so much. Next step. I mean, I want to ask you guys, like, you guys know all the creators platforms. Of course, you know Fiverr, where you can get actual assignments, where you get paid for it. Behance, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's pretty much portfolio based.
Portfolio.
Real work, but not creating your own work.
So here's the thing. I think if you're a photographer, and I have to be honest, there were, I think Helio was one of the photographers who started on Steam, who got a lot of traction, but he stopped because we as a community stopped. We all stopped. But he was already getting traction. He won a couple of contests as well. So I think for photographers, it's a great place to be, because people appreciate photography. They appreciate the story that's being told in photographs. They see similarities. Suriname is really interesting because we're so culturally diverse, we're so biodiverse, that you can post anything from Suriname and there will people be in India, in Indonesia, in Africa, will be, that looks exactly like it's in our country. So, you know, we should definitely as creators be more involved. I'd still have to talk to Graphics, because Graphics is one of the people who's also respected on the platform, but he hasn't switched to Hive either. So I have also, and what Graphics does, Graphics kind of uses the platform as Patreon, where he makes YouTube videos unlisted, and basically the blockchain gets to see the YouTube videos before everybody else, which is a really cool way of using the platform as well. And he does that with YouTube videos. But then also, I mean, illustrators, writers, but just people who make good content, there's no reason not to. And I think we have to create the Surinamese community to kind of cater towards the people who want to do their content in Dutch. But if you are familiar with writing content in English and making contents that's English, it's in English, I mean, you would fit right in. And the only thing people would need help with is finding the right community.
And I think that happens automatically the moment you start to put in your like work out there. You'll find similar interest.
You like, have to commit. It's just you have to commit. We're not committing. I'm not committed to Twitter enough to get the most out of Twitter. I know for sure that if I would spend 5 to 10 hours a week on Twitter, like actually on Twitter, building up my community, I would be 10, 20 times as big as I am. If I would keep posting a YouTube video every week, I don't even have to post daily. If I would post YouTube videos every week, my subscriber base would be 5 times as big as it is now. But I'm not
the consistency.
So you really have to decide, are you willing to commit to a platform to not only post, but interact? You don't even have to interact that much, but you at least have to interact with the people that are commenting on your post. You know?
Currently, there is no particle equivalent for Hive, right?
Or this is what hurts me the most. I think particle was...
Because I love that.
I was promoting the hell out of particle. Like, I was one of the 20 biggest promoters in the beginning. Of course, I wasn't the biggest when it blew up and it had like tens of thousands of users. I wasn't the biggest then anymore because I wasn't committed the way other people on the platform were committed. But I even did particle contests to get people on particle, and the developer even gave me some credits to promote it. So I was really cool. But the development stopped and particle disappeared. I think I still have it on my phone, but I don't even think it works anymore.
Yeah, I tried it out.
Particle left. Esteem is another app, mobile app, and Esteem is changing into what's their name? I have it here on Discord because I'm on their Discord. I don't use it, but they're going to Essency because they're gonna allow posting on different social blockchains. But Esteem is an app that you can use if you want it mobile. But I now use Peaked, which used to be SteamPeak. Peaked is really, the interface of Peaked makes you feel like you're on Facebook. I think it's the closest.
Let's touch on that a bit. You mentioned before decentralized apps, and Peaked is a dApp from Hive, right?
Yeah.
And why would one be on multiple, let's say, of these applications? Because as it seems to me, it becomes a lot to manage, just like we have Facebook, Twitter, and etc. now, Instagram.
No,
basically, I see the same thing happen.
No, if you use Peak, basically you use Hive through Peak. That's it. Basically,
so
you use
Hive is just your account to get.
And yeah, Hive is the blockchain, but Peak is fully connected in the Hive blockchain. All the essential things that you need, you can claim your rewards, you can post, you can comment, you can transfer money, you can even exchange Hive back dollars to Hive. I won't get into Hive back dollars this episode, it will be too much. But you can do everything that you would be able to do on the Hive blockchain, you can do it on Peak. I can even delegate my Hive power to somebody else through Peak. So it's
be the difference then between Peak and Hive, as in the community, is the content solely on
Peak? No, it's the same. So basically, Peak is just the front, end dApp for Hive. You can go on the Hive block, which is really kind of the plain connection between Reddit and Medium, kind of combined into one, and you go on Peaked. And it's everything's the same because the people are the same, the accounts are the same, the interaction is the same. It's just the interface which is different. It's just the interface. It's nothing else.
I slap on a coat of paint and make it more comfortable for you.
It's just so much user-friendly. It's really, Peaked is really, really user-friendly.
And I saw, because I tried to make the Peaked account, and then you had something about the Hive chain, and at the end I had to read through some stuff, so I didn't do it.
So the Hive signer, I use a Hive signer, and the Hive signer is just you upload your passwords once. I think you have to upload your active posting password, password, so you can actually post on the platform. And then with HiveSigner, you log in with your same credentials on Peak. So once you've done it, that's the hard part about all these things.
Setting it up.
The threshold is high for setting it up. Once you've set it up, it's smooth sailing. But hi, I have the same thing with my online banking app for my bank. You know? Once I use it regularly, it's like, whoo, and then all of a sudden you haven't used it for a month and you're like struggling because you don't know the password anymore and you can't get into it. Once you're in it, everything works smoothly. But the setup, that's the hardest part.
I guess during the onboarding process, we got to handhold the people all the way until they put their first post in to help them get through it. Because, yeah, as you said, the threshold is pretty high, even for me. If I need to start reading instructions, I'm like, screw this. I'll do it later. And then I never do it.
But that's why now they made it easier, because they let people onboard through eSteam or through Peak. So they haven't seen the other side. They don't even know what the backend is. That's got to be another issue. If we start onboarding people, we have like 200 people from Suriname on Hive, and then people will see like, hey, I want to cash out. And like, how do I do that? And then they tell them, okay, you send it to an exchange. Oh, you don't have a Binance account or Coinbase? No, you don't have Kraken? Okay, this is going to be different. Difficult. And then they're going to start realizing that they have to get their Hive from Hive to an exchange, and then to an exchange that actually can exchange to fiat. And then you have to have an exchange that actually allows you to send your fiat from the exchange to an actual bank account. And then they'll realize they don't have a bank account that they can send it to, because the exchanges don't let you connect to your local bank. So it has to be a bank in the US or in the Netherlands. And then people are completely screwed. And they're like,
I think that's a mindset people need to let go of a bit. We touched on this in the previous episode, right, Greg? As in, how do you get into the traditional exchanges as such, and how do people cash out? People need to let go of that mindset a bit, because you earn it and you need to use it into that ecosystem. And eventually in the near future, things are going to get easier, maybe, but you need to let go of that mindset to immediately try to get that reward in your hands physically.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Because I've never cashed out. So I think my account is worth between $250 and $300 at the moment.
Big player.
No, it's really not a lot, because I really haven't been that active, because people think, wow, you've been on the platform for 3 years and that's all you got. Well, basically from the 3 years, I've been active for 6 months, and the other 30 months I haven't been active. So
I checked. My profile is worth 50 cents.
So like, what are you expecting? Like, you cash out your first time that somebody offers you for $10 and you want to cash out immediately? No, because that's another thing about the platform. You should build your reputation, but you should also build your power on the platform. You also want your vote. You know how cool? One day I hope that I have an upvote of $1, that when I upvote somebody, bam, I've upvoted them and it's worth $1. One day I'll be there. It's not my main purpose, definitely not. I'm reinvesting everything in the platform. But one thing I also think we should do, we should have a service for people to upload SRD and get Hive, and the other way around. Send Hive to one of us, or maybe to another platform, to a service, and then people get SRDs in return. And originally I wanted to set this up through OroX, because I think that's definitely the group. So I'm really gonna start trying to get OroX to onboard on Hive as well. Because if we get an exchange, a Caribbean exchange that allows you to get your cryptocurrency to a local currency in the Caribbean, I think that would be awesome. even though I understand that exchanges are kind of against the idea of cryptocurrency, it would be much better if we had local businesses. I know one local business. I currently make glasses, sunglasses with Surinamese wood. And if I want to, I can pay it in crypto.
I saw it back in 2018.
Yeah? I think it's Cluster Optics allows you to do that. So I can actually pay in Bitcoin or Ethereum or one or two other cryptocurrencies for my sunglasses, my Surinamese custom-made sunglasses. I probably won't do it, but the option is there. So if we get local businesses, which are now starting to understand mobile payments, to also allow payments in cryptocurrency, and particularly in Hive, I think that's much better than the exchanges. But because as a crypto fanatic, it's not that I'm against crypto exchanges, but I do understand that a crypto exchange is kind of against the idea of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, but as it is now, it's basically just an interface to get and out of it.
Yeah, it is.
But there is no alternative.
The
alternative would be know someone who has some of it and then just directly
Then it gets really expensive. You know, I do want stocks in the Surinamse Brouwerij in Suriname, but I can't get stocks in the Surinamse Brouwerij because nobody is selling, you know? So you'll get a similar issue to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How big would you say is the community now in numbers? How fast has it grown in the past 3 years, I guess?
So there are over 1 million Steam accounts.
That's accounts.
Okay. Accounts, Steam accounts, because that was, of course, and then the fork happened and the active members. I think I read an article, I think Arkansh are one of the most more respected members of the community, shared the statistics. I think there are about 20,000 really active people on Hive.
That's pretty small, and I think pretty valuable too at this stage.
Yeah.
So now we're
talking active people.
Active,
so yes, if we could be 1% of that community, we could really contribute.
And as it grows out, it may take 10 years to get to that million, but being in there now will pay off eventually. Yeah.
Because Steam has the ghost accounts. So yeah, Steam has 1 million accounts, but are they active?
Yeah, because it is the active accounts that usually have power.
Yeah.
And getting a chunk of that pie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Do you think... go ahead, Greg.
What are the odds that just like Steam, some big player comes around and they obviously can't buy the company because it's fully decentralized. But can a big player come in after a few years? You put in so much effort to build up a reputation and then just some external factor just comes in, wipes it all away.
That person has to be really, really, really big. And here's the thing. And I'm really getting into my theoretical side about this. And again, I'm a social scientist, so I will definitely look at examples. Because here's the thing, the decentralized thing is not something that we've been waiting for this for such a long time. There are a lot of people, including myself, that feel there has to be some power, centralized power. But in reality, we don't. We want to move towards a third space, which, and I'm going really philosophical now, I'm going Michel Foucault and those kind of people, but what we really want is a space where everybody has an identity, everybody has the freedom to interact. And if there are too many people saying like, that's not correct, you will get corrected. There doesn't have to be a police. And people that play police currently, I'm going to tell you a true story, something that happened. One of the big guys on the platform started downvoting somebody and made a blacklist because he thought something was unfair. And a couple of smaller people who are not even close to as big as he is, started saying, hey guy, this is not correct. This is not a way to approach it. You've lost my respect. And that person immediately sent out an apology and posted an apology. And here's the thing. When you post, you can decide if you want 50% of the reward, if you want it to have it fully powered up to give you more power on the platform, or if you want to decline payment, you can also decline payment. And for that post, he declined payment, letting people know, like, even if you upvote me for this, I will not take the reward. And that kind of gave a gesture to, okay, I'm admitting I'm wrong. I misused my power and I shouldn't use it like that. So I'm sorry that I did this. And if somebody comes along and tries to do something with the platform that's not correct, the platform will lose its power immediately. Like, I think 1 year ago, 2 years ago, Steam had this figure, Heijin, on the platform. And Heijin is a crypto fanatic and an analyst, and he puts out analysis every day. He puts out three analyses every day. And at that time, there was this one specific big account that kept upvoting him for tens of dollars or even $100 at a certain point. So yeah, if you have somebody who just posts three times a day, who gets $100 per post, that's $300 per post from some guy who doesn't upvote anybody else, just this guy, that's abuse. And there was a big fight against him. And everybody started downvoting him until he didn't have any rewards left. So the upvote of $100 would get downvoted immediately to $2 or something. The people were like, okay, yeah, you can have $2 per post. We don't mind that. Because it were actual financial analysis. And they were okay. They weren't that good. But they were subject. They were subjective posts. And he got this big community to follow him from Twitter because he was from Twitter. So the post would get like 200 upvotes. But all of the 200 upvotes, they would be worth zero. And then there would be one guy who would upvote him for $100. And the community was like, no, we're not having that. This is misuse of power. So if somebody would come, it would have to be somebody that would be able to buy so much Hive that he would have more Hive than the total community combined.
And don't you think that could gradually happen as time goes by, as
the blockchain is transparent? No. The blockchain is transparent. So if somebody starts uploading from Binance to Hive and he's put in 1 billion Hive and nobody knows this person, they're going to be like, hey, can you at least introduce yourself? You know, and then it becomes a flagging war if it goes south. But I mean, that's the best thing about the blockchain. People can see my wallet. You can go on the internet and go on the blockchain and see how much money I have invested and who I upvote and when money comes in for me, who it comes from. It's very transparent. So if somebody tries to sneak in that amount of money, it won't go unnoticed. It definitely won't go unnoticed.
Yeah, that comes back to so it's actually the community itself that's policing.
Yes.
So the belief should be that the community
in the community.
Yeah, will regulate these things to not allow it to happen to that power shifts to a small group or one individual.
And why not? And I'm going to talk this from an entrepreneurial perspective. Let's talk about this from an entrepreneurial perspective. The four of us own a company. You, Diego, have 51% stake of the company, and we have in between 10-20% stake of the company. Yeah? You want the best as a big part of the company. You want the best for the company because it's your company. You have 51% of the stake of the company. So you want the best for the company. So why would you make a decision that would ultimately destroy the company and your 51% stake would be worthless? Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm. You want
greed. Yes, of course, greed. But I mean,
yeah, but that's short term. That's like in and out.
You know,
if you can get out at least.
It's the same thing with Hive. If you would go into Hive, you would immediately become one of the big dogs because you invent tens of thousands or maybe $100,000 in the platform. If you would do that, you would want a good return of investment, right? If you would start abusing the platform and people would start flagging you, what would happen? You wouldn't get a proper return of investment. And you would kill the platform because people of us would be like, okay, another fight, we're leaving. And there's no good quality to upvote anymore because everybody's scared to post. And there's a war between witnesses and this person who came in and destroyed the platform. It's a lose, lose, lose. Everybody loses. So it wouldn't make sense to do it. And I personally don't think people ultimately do something negative or hurtful out of the blue. There has to be a reason, a motive towards it. And so far, there is no motive to destroy a platform like this. Why would you do that?
But isn't that what happened with CMIT, though? I don't think.
No, because CMIT was centralized from the beginning.
Because you had that entity. Now you don't have that entity.
You don't have the entity, the CMIT Inc. entity anymore.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
The only question nobody, mark is now when, how it when gets
Justin,
regulated.
Yeah, so the problem was when Justin Sun bought Steemit.inc, the community didn't have say in it. The community couldn't say to the net, like, no, you're not allowed to buy it. They weren't allowed. They couldn't do that. They didn't have the power to do that. Now they do. Now the community can, when the community is somebody just buying a million Hive power, say like, okay, but what are you here to do?
Worst case, there's another hard fork.
Yeah, that's the word. That's exactly the worst case is that it gets hard forked again.
And basically, you cut out all the bad blood and the good community moves on and it starts there again.
Yeah.
Just continues.
It's not what you want. It's not what you want. But yeah, worst case scenario, we go into a similar situation as that.
You mentioned Hive basic income and universal basic income previously. What's your, before we go into Hive basic income, what's your view on universal basic income in general, especially what's happening now in the world?
So if people ask me what is my political view, I tell them I think left, I act right. And from a perspective, I mean, somebody told me, if you're 20 and you're not a communist, it's wrong. If you're 30 and you're not a capitalist, it's also wrong. You know, something like, it's not exactly what he said, but I figured what he meant by it is to, when you're like in your student years, you always think like, what can we do for the community? What's best for the community? And then when you got older, you start realizing, okay, you should have shit in place. You should have structure in place. You should have at least some kind of general understanding of what's best for the world. And you can't just give away money for free and give away everything for free just because you want everybody to have a better world. For me personally, I want equity. I want world equity. Yes, I want world equity. So from that perspective, I completely agree with universal basic income.
Is that the approach you took when you did that post that got downvoted on the Hive?
No, not necessarily. I just wanted to I did it because I wanted to reward people that commented on my posts.
Mm.
Because the biggest problem I had previously, and I even had that on Hive when I started, I would post quality content and nobody would comment on it. And it would be a disappointment because, wow, it's nice. Okay, somebody upvoted me and I get $5, but I have like two comments. And they're not even actual comments that go into the content that I posted, but just comments that are somewhat automatic comment or something like that. They would be like, come on, this is not what community is supposed to be.
So it was luckily, more an incentive to get engagement so that...
Yeah, so I decided... Let's give an incentive for people who care about Hive basic income. Let's give them an incentive that they would comment. And the funny thing is, they still didn't. the people that commented were people that I already knew and I already liked, people that already kind of supported me throughout my whole process. So I decided, well, I at least have to keep to my promise. So I decided to give them Hive basic income. And then somebody who has been downvoting everybody that does that downvoted on my post as well. And when I asked them to explain it, they didn't even respond. I was like, come on, you know? At least respond to it. And at least I even asked, link me up to a post while you explain. I know that person was downvoting and other people told me as well, but I didn't know exactly why. It was just that a person was telling like everybody, I'm gonna downvote everybody that uses the service. But yeah, why? And then the discussion would start about basic income as well, universal basic income. And then you could have like, why it shouldn't work, why it doesn't work. But I feel like, and it's hard because the people who should be working the hardest for universal basic income should be the governments. And they're just not doing it. And the reason they're not doing it is because they use their power and control to get votes. Because if people would get universal basic income, they wouldn't need the government support anymore and they wouldn't necessarily vote for them anymore. They would vote for who they really consider does the most for the country. So that's a big problem in politics and in geopolitics as well.
Just to sidetrack on that a bit, I saw a video on YouTube. It's called The Rule of Rulers. Look it up later maybe, where they explain why eventually you're always, you know, pocketing money on the side just to get reelected. And even though you have good intentions at first, you get into that system that you can't get out of because you want that follow up. It's a fun animation that's pretty interesting, but just a side topic. But back on topic.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Back on topic. So, a bit more on Hive. I remember Steam back then had a lot of like side apps where you can track data. Bots to upvote, are those still prevalent in Hive, like the bots especially?
I think the bots have been done for. I think bots have been done for before the hard fork. It got a lot of backlash. It was bad. I honestly, on Steam, I even did it. I did it in a way that people weren't offended by how I used the bots. But in the end, yeah. Did I gain from it? No, I really didn't gain from it in the sense that you don't want those kind of things.
It was, in a sense, abuse to an extent by some people, and then that got regulated by the community again.
Yeah, but also, like, I would never promote a post, like pay to be promoted on Hive, which is weird because I do it on Facebook. yeah, it's weird, but I feel on Facebook... I feel on Facebook I won't get noticed if I don't do it because I don't post enough. For Facebook, if you want to be in the algorithm and get noticed for quality content, you have to post a couple of times a day. With Hive, I don't feel that it's necessary. With Hive, I feel I can post 2 times a week. And
is that due to the volume of people there is on the platform?
Yeah. I don't think the algorithm... That's one of the things that I'm worried about once the platform gets bigger, the algorithm. I'm worried about the algorithm. But that's something for me as a social media person to be worried about, not necessarily
as a content creator or
community. But those things are gone. The good apps that help you figure out how much power do you have, because power takes some time to reload, to get back to 100%. Your research credits, who upvoted you, who are the people that upvoted you, who commented on your things. Most of that's already on Peaked. So Peaked has a really good platform and some things that they included. And HiveBlocks, I remember steamd.com. There's something similar called HiveBlocks.com. And on HiveBlocks.com, you can also get all the inside information of all the accounts. So there are several more websites that they've replicated. The games as well. I think Splinterlands currently is the biggest blockchain game there is worldwide, and they moved from Steam to Hive as well.
Oh, fun stuff. So yeah. I guess Peaked would be the go-to, I guess, dApp to use now at the moment for especially new people,
because it has also, the most... Steam is Peaked is already the third biggest app, the third biggest dApp in the world. So Splinterlands, the biggest, MakerDAO, that's an Ethereum-based platform, is the second biggest. Then you have Chainlink, is also on Ethereum. Status, Ethereum, Kyber Network, Ethereum, and the Hive block, Hive.
Then what are you reading off now?
I'm reading the state of the dApps rankings. So, but basically, peak.com is the only knock against Peaked, basically, is it's desktop based. It's not mobile. So that's why some people use eSteam.
Waiting on a good mobile solution.
We're waiting on it. I think enough people have mentioned to Peaked already for them to make the mobile version of it. But I mean, it's a lot of development because.
Yeah,
you want to have similar features as well. Another interesting one is ActiFit. ActiFit is also, that used to be pretty big app as well. It's not as big anymore.
I use it ActiFit, 2 weeks and then stuff.
But again, it's something that you really have to use the dApp because you want to use the dApp.
Yeah.
And for no other reason. And it used to get, they got a lot of delegations, so you would get upvoted. And I want to upvote from ActiFit because they have a lot of power. And you should use it because you really want to use it, not because you get more upvotes for using it. So that's also something that we have to work on.
No, it seems to me that a lot of, in these past 3 years, like unnecessary fat has been cut out, especially during the hard fork from Steam to Hive, and it's getting a bit more polished now, and especially when they release a mobile interface, that it might get easier.
Why? You just want to get addicted. You just want to addict it. In social media sense, here's the thing about it. It's the dopamine. I mean, we've all watched Simon Sinek talking about our generation of millennials and how we get addicted to dopamine and why we get stuck because we use social media too much and we're too addicted to getting a like. It's the same thing. There are a lot of people who are addicted to Facebook because they want to know how many likes or reactions their post got. Or on Instagram, same thing. You get the dopamine from the notifications that you have upvotes.
Yeah, that's why they eliminated the numbers. No, but I mean, not to look at the feed per se, but to create posts. Because if I take myself as an example now, especially on the photography side, I barely do anything on my computer anymore. Everything, the edit, I do on my phone.
I totally understand.
So, like,
but still, for good content, to take some time to take the photo off your phone, put it on your laptop, write a little bit more. Writing on your laptop is a little easier. Give context to the photo. Put it in a document. And for me, I use Evernote to make sure that I don't write anything and then it disappears. That's the great thing about the blockchain as well. If you make a mistake or going back or forth in your browser, it kind of stays there. So that's a great thing about posting on the blockchain as well. But
great thing. And what if you post something that later you thought, shit, I should have posted that.
But that's a social media kind of thing. But see, for me personally, I don't mind because when I'm on my phone, it takes time away from my kids. So, okay, maybe I'm in a different situation than you guys are. But if I deleted Facebook from my phone, I permanently deleted Facebook from my, I still have my account. I'm still on Facebook at least 3 times a week. But everything I post, all my interactions, it does put me into trouble sometimes because sometimes I need Facebook on my phone, but I've committed to not having Facebook on my phone because it's so much of a distraction. So much of a distraction. I try to put my phone away. I try to have my phone only 3 times a day. In the morning, during lunch, in the afternoon before I spend time with my family. That's when I am I active on WhatsApp. That's when I'm active on the other apps that I still have on my phone. I try to move away from using my phone because my phone was controlling. So that's for me personally.
No, definitely, I get that. I did the same with Facebook. I only have Facebook on my phone now again because one of my semester courses required to have Facebook. Because one of the assessments was on Facebook as well, and the lecturer put updates on Facebook, so I had to check it regularly. Yeah. But now that's that course is done, I'm probably going to remove it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg told me, I think we're heading close to 2 hours now.
Yeah.
You got any last questions, thoughts, Greg, for Jean-Luc?
Yeah, I actually do have a question. As a social media expert, how do you gauge the potential of a social media company or a platform? How do you know, or how can you recognize if it's going to be big in the future? What do you look for?
See, I don't really care that much about it. So here's a funny thing, how I look at social media platforms. I look at social media platforms based on the functionality that they have. And yeah, it's I had it in my head and now I lost it again. Sorry about that. But for me, like it's like you need to understand how the technology changes and how it changes human behavior and the building of communities and communication. So for instance, I should be on TikTok. I should be on TikTok. I have an account. I don't use it at the moment just because it's very time consuming. One TikTok takes about 30 minutes to make if you want to make a proper TikTok. So I don't have that amount of time currently available in my schedule. But I should. And the reason why is because I have to be able to understand platforms that are geared towards short content, short video content. Because it's the future. Because everybody between the age of 9, even though they're not allowed to use it at that age, but everybody between the age of 9 and 19 is using apps that are either chat-based or and private or public and short video-based. That's where we're heading to. There will be two kinds of social media platforms that will be growing consistently. And that will be private social media networks that you don't have access and companies don't have access to the people, and public social media platforms which will gravitate towards video more and more and more. So for me, being on Hive, there's also as a social media expert, I focus on the potential of Hive as to a platform that uses the blockchain and the blockchain technology more than just and as a community. The community is the first part that I look at, but as a social media, expert is a big word, but as a somebody who's an avid user of social media, for me, the interesting part is like, how does a social media platform on a blockchain work? How does that work? And I think the proof of work, the proof of concept is amazing. I used to have other dApps as well, or apps that are blockchain related. I used to have an AOS or an Ethereum content app as well. We talked about Uptrend. I just don't have the time to invest in all of them. And for me, Hive is of all these kind of platforms I've seen, Hive for me is the one that votes most to what I think a platform like this should be like.
Cool. And I guess, first of all, before we close off, unless someone else has something to say, thanks for joining us, talking about Steam and the transition to Hive. I'm probably going to look at it again soon. And as you suggested, probably go into Peaked because it's more, I guess, friendly. Yeah. Not sure what Greg is going to do, but he'll probably check it out too.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to create a Hive account because I've actually been looking for a social media account or a platform where I can share what I'm good at and just with a small niche community, because the local Facebook and the local Instagram It just isn't catered towards what I excel at. So it's great.
Completely true. To it.
And one more thing, you have a book that you're writing, right? On Peaked. I read one of the chapters.
Okay. Which one did you read? Which one did you read?
I'm not sure anymore. It was like a month ago when you shared it on Peaked.
Do you remember like a sentence or something from what stuck to you?
About social media, the rise of it, the history, some of the history of social media.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the rise of social media. Yeah, I think that's one of the latest ones. So basically, I'm kind of upset that I didn't pull through, but there was a writing contest to write daily in May, and I only spent like the first 9 days completing. But I'm writing a book on social media. Well, it's kind of a two-part book. The first part is really about the history of the internet connected to social media. So I take everything out of the history of the internet that somewhat has influenced the rise of social media. So everything else I've taken out of the history. So it's really a history of social media book. And then the second part of the book will be more towards social media in Suriname in our country. And I'm hoping to publish it on December 14th, 2020. That's my end goal.
So at the end of the year, this year.
Yes. Right? But basically, the draft of the book will be online on Hive and on my website completely. So I'm basically writing chapters of the book and I'm publishing them straight away. And then when I've published all the chapters, then I'm going to take it as a draft and start rewriting it properly because there are some, of course, there's a lot of grammar errors in them. And other things, but then I'll put it all together and then I'll make the final version of the book.
I think that's a really nice approach. It's something similar I've seen with what happened with, I'm not sure if you know the book Atomic Habits by James Clear.
He
did a similar thing. He compiled a lot of his posts that he did into a book and like vetted it, like cleared it up, made it more digestible. And it seems pretty similar. So
my favorite book.
And it holds you accountable for progress, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not really. I get distracted quite easily. So that's
well, this is a trigger to you. We're looking forward to it. So commit.
Yeah. So if I can do a final recommendation. Has nothing to do with what we've talked about, but it's something you just spoke about. My favorite book of all time is Like the Flowing River by Paulo Coelho. And it's a collection of his works. So basically, just like James Clear had like his columns and he just put them together in a book. Like the Flowing River is a book by Paulo Coelho. And he kind of took a collection of his articles that he wrote for the newspaper and put it into a book. And I really, really love that book. So yeah, I mean, that's something, the book that I'm writing does have a chapter, a continuity, a storyline to it. But yeah, I'm writing separate chapters and I'm publishing the chapters. And then in the end, I'm going to bring it all back together.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. And Greg, one more thing.
No, I just wanted to wish you all the best and good luck on it.
Wow, I mean, thank you so much for inviting me. This has been really cool. I never expected that you would let me talk this much, and I talked for 2 hours. So,
I think it was an interesting topic, and we're trying to figure out as we build this podcast out different formats, I guess. This Zoom session is a different format than what we used to. So we're building out the podcast as we go. And building
from a consumer perspective, I look at Joe Rogan's podcast and I go like, why is this thing 3 hours? Why is this thing 3 hours? And then when I start making my own podcast, I start being like, and like for us, we do a sports podcast, Beyond Buildings and that. And we just, after the first episode, we were like, okay, every podcast is going to be two parts. We won't be able to do this in a short time span. We just won't be able. And then I'm so for people who have listen to this podcast for a full 2 hours. Thank you so much. I think we really, really respect you for the fact that you took 2 hours of your time to listen to this podcast. I applaud to that. I really applaud to that.
Also, check out Sean Luke's podcast. What's it called now? You guys changed the name.
Well, okay. So if you because it's in Dutch, we decided. To be honest, on Hive, on Twitter, and on LinkedIn is where I post on English, in English. On Facebook, YouTube, and my podcast are in Dutch. I just decided it doesn't make sense to do those in English. And the podcast is called the Brunings van Charente podcast. Lucky Ducio is the new kind of name for it, but it's Brunings van Charente podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Spotify, and on Anchor. So you can, if you're into sports, it's a really cool podcast. If you're into sports and you understand Dutch, check out the Brunings van Charente podcast because you'll exactly. like it. It's fun. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
Yeah, and of course, I will promote you. Yeah. I would love to promote your podcast. I've been doing it a little bit as well. I try to listen to all the creative convos that you have going on. And I'll definitely be, I'm going to upload this video on TreeSpeak on the main video platform of Hive. And I hope that people will comment and tell the things that I missed because I missed quite a lot of things.
No, definitely. We hope to have you again maybe in the future. If you got topics you want to talk about, hit us up. The Discord community is there. And I think I didn't expect it to grow in this sense, but yeah, people
it's
just
growing
keep
quite
coming
quickly.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. For people that are listening, this Discord channel is it's insane. It's something on its own. It's a social media platform on its own.
With that being said, thanks for listening and